it's the werewolf. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm telling this story. The whole coven was there meeting for lunch. They stopped eating. They stopped talking. They just were like, we backed out of the restaurant, got in the car. Out comes the husband, chases us up the hill, all the way up the hill. He turned up. I looked out and he's hanging out the window and he's already morphing.
I heard you talk about shapeshifters and werewolves coming after you or coming after your family, but you're going after them. I got to hear more about this because this is not something that I was expecting to hear because you think, oh, that's just make-believe or fantasy. But Katie, I totally believe that what you're saying is true because I've seen things, I've heard things, I've experienced things. And so many times we just kind of like poo-poo that or we just kind of like write it off as like, oh, something weird. That's just my imagination. But there is more to that if our eyes are opened.
Yeah, well, first, let me just bring a couple of texts in just so people can, you know, think that we haven't completely lost our mind. You know, A.W. Pink, who is a Calvinist expositor, teaches about the angel doctrine. Rick Renner teaches about the angel doctrine in Genesis 6. I mean, there is some men of God, and those are just two of a list of highly respected, doctrinally accurate theologians who have studied scriptures, studied historical contexts, historical records, other not canonized, but books that were well read in the time of the disciples, in the time of Jesus, like the book of Enoch, which is mentioned in the book of Jude, and things like that. They have studied these things and they agree with me. This is not me going off the rails because I have some sort of insane position. You know, Genesis 6, the doctrine of the angels that came down had intimacy, illegal intimacy with women, took them as wives, and because of their DNA inside of them, they produced mutants. They produced giants out of this unholy union with human women. But they didn't just fornicate with the women. If you read Genesis 6, I'll go to the scripture, and it says, and God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate, debased and vicious it was, for all humanity had corrupted their way on the earth and lost their directions. And he even goes on to say that, I want to find the, it says, I will wipe away mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth. This is verse 7. Not only man, but the beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air, for it grieves me and makes me regretful that I have made them. Why would God punish the beasts, the animals that he had created? Because these angels, these fallen angels, were so debased, so perverse, that they not only had unholy relations with human women, but also with animals, bestiality, and things like that. They did experiments. They were trying to create animals who had their DNA in them so they could be supernatural creatures. Why would they do that? Look at what's in heaven. Four living creatures, beasts with wings and eyes that cover their whole body, and beasts that have an ox head and then an eagle head and a human head and a lion head, all in one creature. I mean, bizarre looking creatures. And what these fallen angels were doing were trying to recreate those kinds of things here on earth. And so they experimented on animals. They fornicated with animals. And what happened is, out of this fornication and these experiments came beasts. And we see that throughout history. You see, you know, satyrs and Medusa with the snakes on her heads and, you know, half fish, half men. And the gods that the Egyptians worship were frogs with male lower parts and frogs' heads. I mean, there was these mixtures of men and beasts, of demonic angelic DNA and creatures. And then in the caves of Quorum, the Quorum caves, I think it was back in 1942. Don't quote me if that's the wrong year. Two shepherd boys are near the caves of Quorum, where a group called the Essenes, who were a group of scribes, had lived. And they were throwing rocks, and there's multiple, many, 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 many dozens and dozens of caves in the cliffs in that region. And these two young men were herding sheep, and they were throwing rocks into the mouths of the caves. And suddenly they heard pottery crash. And so they went and told someone. They came back, and all of the scrolls, the Dead Sea Scrolls, were discovered. Some of our most accurate translations come from those discoveries of these clay jars with scrolls inside of them of books mm-hmm. that were handwritten by these scribes from scripture, the book of Isaiah, many, many books. Well, one of the books found in there, though it was very degraded, was a book called the Book of Monsters. Mm. There are monsters in the earth. Where do you think vampires and werewolves and yetis and you know, the monsters in the deep, Nettie and all these other things, do you think that they're just myth? Do you actually believe they're just myth? No,
they come from
real stories. Yes.
Yeah, because if you go through archaeology and all these different societies throughout the world, the creatures that they talk about or that they have stories about, they all are similar. You know, they talk about dragons. They talk about there's a Bigfoot legend all over the world. You got the Yeti in the Himalayas. You've got Bigfoot in the Pacific Northwest. You've got all these different things, but the descriptions match of different things. So there is obviously they're describing the same thing, but maybe in their own different ways. So it,
how can people in completely different continents that yes. don't have phones or yes. you know, email or whatever, all be describing something that's very, very similar to every other continent and civilization yep. without them being able to communicate unless it's real?
Yep. Yeah. And so that really makes you think, like, if these things are really out there, what do we need to do about them? And you know, if they're out there hiding, they're more spiritual than we give them credit for, obviously. And they're you said that there's a werewolf that's assigned to take you out. So I got to hear more about that specifically.
I can't tell the whole story. It's too lengthy. Sure. But let's just put it this way. The first time I don't know if there's a werewolf right now assigned to take me out. I haven't seen it, but I have dealt with many different werewolves throughout my life. The first one was up in the mountains in a place I won't mention right now, but I saw it. It chased me, and I was not a believer at that time. I was walking in sin. I was a drug addict, and I thought to myself, you're totally lost it. You've hallucinated this thing that's happened to you. You've hallucinated it. And then a few days later, I happened to talk to a woman who was living on that property who had escaped the coven. The werewolf wasn't there for her. It was there for me. And I had gotten in the way. I mean, it wasn't there for me. It was there for her because she had been disobedient to the coven. And I had gotten in the way. And then what happened is I actually met the werewolf and was him and his wife, who was a witch, tried to recruit me into the coven. They invited me to their house, and I'm going to keep this story very short. It's almost too wild to talk about. But yeah. While I was up there, because remember, I'm a drug addict. I'm tough chick from the street, ex-collector, ex-drug dealer, you know, still just on the fringes of all that. And these occultic people recognized a very good power source in me. It's like, if she goes this way with God, she's trouble for us. If she comes this way for us, she's a power source for us, because I was operating in that level. And when I met them, I went to their house with his wife. I had no idea who they really were. And she showed me this house that they had constructed. And in the basement, when she took me down to the basement, all that was down there was a water tank, a shelf that had a piece of velvet on it, and a noose hanging from a beam. And when I picked up the velvet piece of fabric, it was actually a long black mask with the eyes cut out. And when I asked her, what's this? They were posing as Christians. She said, oh, that's, you know, for my husband during Halloween. And I said, I thought you people are Christians and you don't do that. And I go, and what's all, and upstairs there was barrels of hooch. I was like, I thought you got Christians don't drink. She's like, oh, you know, we just drink a little bit. It's like a little bit. You got You got major hooch going on in here. I used to make hooch in prison. It's like, I know what hooch is. And so I went down in this basement and then I came in and there was only a beam with a noose on it. But the floor was so, it was not very tall. The ceiling was not tall. So if you were to hang somebody from the noose, their feet would actually touch the ground. Mm-hmm. So underneath this noose was dug out. This is the first time I've said this on TV. I hope you're happy.
Keep going.
They had dug out a hole. So if anybody were to hang, their feet wouldn't touch the ground. And that hole was full of dry blood. Now I'm a tough chick from the street and they know that. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, so what's up with that? She goes, oh, you know, when we built this, she goes, she completely like ignores that question. She goes, when we built this, we made like layers, like 7 to 10 feet of rock and wood and dirt and cement. That's why you could be down here and scream your head off and nobody'd ever hear you. And then her husband shows up and he peeks into the basement and goes, what are y'all doing down there? And she goes, I'm just showing Katie the cellar, the coal cellar. And I booked it. We had snowmobiled up there. I booked it. I said, well, I got to go. See you guys later. Out. And jumped on the snowmobile and ripped down the hill. And then like 2 weeks later, I'm with the woman that was rescued from the coven. We go down to a local hangout where only the locals go to hang out to go get some lunch down at the bottom of the mountain. And when we walked in, I found out later, the whole coven was there meeting for lunch. The whole coven. When we walked in, they were all like, they sat there and stared at us for 15 minutes while I ordered. They stopped eating. They stopped talking. They just were like, and I got straight up attitude. So I'm just like staring them back. Like what? And I hide my friend behind me. I order. We backed out of the restaurant. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I'm telling this story. Okay. Got in the car and out comes the husband. And he gets in his car and he chases us up the hill, all the way up the hill. And when we jumped into where the house was, where we were at, the property, the road turns up to the right really severely. He turned up, I looked out, and he's hanging out the window, and he's already morphing. And that's when I knew that he was the werewolf that I had seen, that I hadn't told anybody about. And his wife was the witch. And it ended up that they got a warrant put out for them because they had a cougar as a pet and the cops came up there. But before the cops could come up, they burned that A-frame to the ground. And outside that A-frame was I can't believe I'm telling this story. Are we in trouble yet? It's too late now. Was a Tibetan monk dome. There's only 6 of them in the world. Mm. And they have Tibetan monk bones inside of them. This is out in the middle of nowhere. Like, what is a Tibetan monk dome doing here with Tibetan monk bones in it? It's a power source. When you lay out the map and you draw lines, it forms a pentagram. Mm. And that was their power source. That was their altar. Wow. They burned that house to the ground. And when the authorities came, they had fled. And the house they had built, because they had built that house with the cellar that you could scream your head off and nobody'd ever hear you. That's my first encounter with a werewolf. So, you know, everybody can talk smack, but they haven't dealt with the occult like I've had to deal with the occult. And I've learned a lot about dealing with the occult.
Wow. So God protected you from that even before you were really walking with him.